We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Tell you, I have been waiting for this weekend, and hopefully it'll be productive for a lot of different people, and hopefully it's going to be peaceful in the city of St. Louis and its surrounding region. We could take some more of your calls if you want. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. This hour, I do have an interview I want to play for you, and it's an interesting thought. He's the author of a book called Honest to Greatness. And it's the idea about checking facts and honesty in general. And we keep hearing about fact checkers and what's Twitter doing about it and what's Facebook doing about it. Are they going to label this? Are they going to delete that? So he wants to talk a little bit about honesty and how it works with technology. And that's going to be an interesting interview coming up in a few moments. And I got to say, it was a long conversation, so we're going to really get in depth with it. But pretty much everyone is on social media anymore, and I think they're concerned with the overwhelming power that these social media companies have. And then when they start talking about acting like publishers, that gets a lot of people's interest, including the governments. So we're going to talk about that coming up soon. Real quick at the start here, I wanted to bring up a few things. And I got to say, you heard in the news with Kevin Killeen reporting at the march today for Captain Dorn, who was murdered just a couple of days ago. During the riots and the destruction and the looting that went on, we had four police officers shot and a captain that served many decades very honorably here in the city of St. Louis decided to stay here in St. Louis while the looters were going through Lee's Pawn Shop on Dr. Martin Luther King Drive. He was attacked, shot, and killed. Part of this, as the looters were celebrating their looting, were videotaping, screaming, laughing, enjoying, celebrating their destruction, caught this man's death on videotape, which was streamed to the world to watch, which people can see now. And how difficult must that be for the entire family to know that this was going on and this is the way this 77-year-old man lost his life? It is an absolute tragedy there in the streets of St. Louis. Let me point out there was a march today, and unfortunately, it wasn't as well attended as you see some of the other protests that are going on. Mostly police officers, about 30 or so, marched arm in arm down Martin Luther King Drive to remember Captain Dave Dorn. Kevin Killeen was out in reporting on it today. Oh, and let me get to plug this in. Sometimes I have to unplug this. All right.
A crowd of about 50 demonstrators, half of them or more are police officers, including the chief, are walking on Dr. Martin Luther King from the pawn shop where the retired captain was murdered Monday night, fending off rioters. As they prayed before starting the march, Chief John Hayden prayed, "Lord, let us bring the person who did this to justice." In North St. Louis, Kevin Killeen, St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
I hope they do. I hope they find this person, and I hope they bring him to justice. I really do. part of comments for Captain Dorn, Chief Hayden said a few.
Captain Dorn, and of course he was a captain for the St. Louis Police Department. He was a chief for Pagedale when he retired from us. But hey, he was just a wonderful person. He was a mentor to many of us. And he was just an all-around good guy. I mean, when you talk about personality, warm personality, always very caring, always very encouraging, I think is the word that I would say. And he encouraged all of us younger officers. And even after he had retired, we'd see him at various locations. And he would talk about, you know, hey, how you doing? And you're doing a good job and keep up the good work. He was that kind of individual. And hey, we're going to sorely miss him. And like I said, we would still see him everywhere we went. He was a very active person. And it's always good to see him. It was always a pleasant thing when we saw him.
You get to learn more about him. There was one story from Fox 2 I wanted to mention, and this is going to make you sick, so I'm going to warn you right ahead of time. Here's the headline. Son of murdered police captain expresses anger over fraudulent fundraising campaigns.
It was just after midnight, Monday into Tuesday, when St. Louis police started firing tear gas at rioters who were throwing Molotov cocktails at them. Suddenly, officers standing near a formation of other officers near 17th Street and Olive began getting shot. Ray Murphy's son, Ryan Murphy, was one of them.
What was it like to get that phone call, and what was it like to see him?
And, you know, this is one of the family members that they spoke to. This was the KSDK report. I played the wrong clip, but Fox 2, this is where they start to talk about some of the anger that's going on.
Shameful, despicable. Who would actually put a man dying on the cover of a GoFundMe page?
That is the question Brian Powell once answered. Someone had the nerve to post this GoFundMe page to profit off the name of a murder victim, his father, David Dorn. Dorn was a retired police captain in St. Louis. He was killed Monday night while trying to protect this pawn shop from looters. As if the tragedy weren't painful enough, this page and others began popping up.
My stepmom, she was like, all these people saying GoFundMe pages. And Jasmine, it was one page that was just really despicable. It had my father laying down in the street, dying. All the other pages at least had him in his police uniform and everything.
I just can't imagine what that family is going through. God bless that family and that man. And let's hope that they bring whoever did that to him to justice. Just such a shame. That story was on Fox 2. There's some really sleazy people out there trying to capitalize on all this. Coming up in a few minutes, I'm going to play an interview, and it has to do with the way we check honesty online. And we see a lot of fake news things. We see social media stepping in. What extent should they step in, and what can be done about it? That's coming up on Overnight America KMOX. Joining us now is a TEDx speaker, an honesty expert, and also the author of a book called Honest to Greatness, Peter Cozadoy. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
It's my pleasure.
A lot of discussions right about now when it comes to honesty, and a lot of it has to do in the tech world, but in general, there's always fact-checking going on. People are always questioning, of course, the president's honesty. People are questioning everyone else's honesty. I think a lot of people try to discern certain things, and then they try to play it into it, being honest as opposed to being an opinion, and it's a very divisive thing, honesty, today, and that's kind of a shame if you think about it.
Yeah, it sure is, and I've often said to myself and to others, it is remarkable to me, truly shocking, that I have had to speak about honesty, write a book about honesty. I mean, we did all learn this in preschool, so it really does surprise me. And yet, as you just noted, there's so little of it in the world. And I've seen over and over again that honesty is exactly what's needed to produce results, outcomes, you know, both in business in terms of profitability and in life and society at large.
Yeah, I think a lot of our problems in society started when people could present all of these things and be anonymous at the same time. So they realize they can get away with being dishonest, disinformation, things like that, with no repercussion whatsoever. And a lot of the problems that we've had ever since then, ushered in over the past couple of decades, seem to come from that. People just have no accountability held back to themselves. They can say or do whatever they want. And it's interesting in a social media world, because you tie this into a social media world. Now they're trying to come up with a way to show you what is true, what is not true, instant fact checks. Do we ban certain things? Do we not? That's become a big part of how we are talking about technology works moving forward.
Yeah, it is. And I, you know, this past week, as we're talking, we had this issue with Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook and Jack Dorsey at Twitter taking two very different tacks when it came to one of President Trump's tweets and posts. So what was really interesting is that I think a lot of people turned to me and said, you know, how could you be okay with Mark Zuckerberg's approach? You know, if there's fake news, shouldn't these companies flag it? And, you know, many might be surprised to learn, I'm actually very excited this happened because we all need honesty in our national consciousness. We need to have a big conversation about who's responsible for the truth in this country. And I think we need to be very careful about to whom we entrust the truth. You know, if that's going to be a corporation, we need to be thoughtful about that. The government, thoughtful about that. You know, another private enterprise, or you can imagine a third party. You know, it's like, who is the arbiter of what's true and what's not? And we need to be extremely careful when we're making that decision. But I'm glad we're making it.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about that, the arbiter of truth. And think about it, even if it was some sort of governmental lever, the minister of truth that would come down and strike down on the untruths of the world. But there's always going to be a distrust. There's always going to be someone that doesn't believe it. And I think a part of the problem we find on social media, too, is that so many things that are opinion-based try to make it into fact-based. And then when that gets mixed up, then you start to fact-check opinions, and that throws things off too. But social media, I wanted to get your thoughts on what you think their responsibility should be in all of this, if they should be more hands-off or if they should be active when it comes to flagging things.
Well, it's a great question because it's so easy, I think, for a lot of people to assume that if they are the owner of the platform, and they know what's true and what's not, then shouldn't they go ahead and flag it? The problem is this. If we are going to give arbitration of the truth over to a corporation whose job it is to make money, then you automatically set up a conflict of interest in which they have a motivation somewhere in the organization. You know, if someone wanted to, they could wreak havoc on our entire system by flagging true things as untrue and untrue things as true. I mean, you can imagine if something like that occurred. And, you know, I think it's easier for us to sit back and say, we can trust a company to do that. Well, do we trust oil companies aren't polluting the environment? I mean, some don't, some do, right? It's like, oh, we have oil spills and, you know, things happen. So, what the biggest thing when we talk about honesty is we have to understand how dishonesty comes about, you know, and I don't think there's many people in the world that walk around thinking they're inherently evil. But when you give them, when you put them in a situation where there's a conflict of interest and they have two choices and one benefits themselves and one benefits a group of people, people are going to make decisions depending on, you know, their core values and the order of those values and the circumstances. And look, we all watch movies about, you know, people whose kids are kidnapped and they have to sacrifice one group, save the kid. What do, right? Things pop up. So, you know, the question is, should someone fact check what's going on out there? I think that is absolutely going to happen. You know, it's one of the first positions I put forth in my book that there's too much first party data out there. Someday we are going to be able to watch the TV and some CEO will be speaking or an elected official and we will be able to say, hey, Siri, is this person full of or not? And Siri will tell us, right? Because we're going to have that ability. But the question is, where's that data coming from? Should we necessarily entrust Facebook or Twitter or Apple to do this? Or should we have maybe a third party do it or a crowdsourced effort do it? These are all things we have to be very careful about weighing.
Mm. Even when I hear those things, I'm all of a sudden my radar goes up and I think, how do you trust any of those? So how can you, as an individual, trust any organization to tell you what is or what isn't when there's so much of that abuse that goes on when people are already abusing the system?
Well, that's one of my biggest points that I really want to hammer. Literally, the first chapter of my book is called Fraud is Our Fault. When we make decisions that empower fraudsters by not being thoughtful about things like, you know, how do we get at real facts versus alternative ones, then we actually make fraud possible. So what I don't like about the call for corporations to crack down and be arbiters of the truth is it removes personal responsibility. It basically tells the American public, don't worry, this organization has your best interest at heart, and they're now going to tell you what's true and what's not. That doesn't seem like a system that sounds very safe to me. And I think it's dangerous to put people at ease, thinking, well, you no longer have a responsibility to dive into the data and to fact check and decide what's true. And one of the biggest things we need to do now more than ever is adopt a culture, a mindset of how is this particular piece of information coming at me, trying to persuade me one way or the other. Everything today is an advertisement, let's be honest. You know, so I think if we can develop our honesty muscle and learn to not be so lazy, learn to get into the data, learn how to read a scientific paper if you want to understand what's going on with the pandemic. We all have the power to do this. And I think, honestly, we now need to if we're going to start to preserve the truth in any sort of way and agree on what's honestly true.
Joining us is Peter Cozadoy. He's a TEDx speaker, honesty expert, and also author of the book, which we've been talking about, Honest to Greatness. By the way, if people wanted to find your book, where can they find it?
Certainly on Amazon, yeah, Honest to Greatness, and also honesttogreatness.com. I actually put up a 21-question honesty quiz that will tell you your honesty type.
Ooh.
And how honest you really are relating to a lot of these issues if those of you out there are brave enough to take it and see.
Everyone loves quizzes. I'm going to take it after this interview. Peter Cozadoy is a TEDx speaker, also author of the book called Honest to Greatness. We're going to continue our conversation with him and more questions about how this plays out in the tech world when it comes to honesty, fact-checking, things like that. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. You can go online, Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook, a great way to connect. And you could even talk about this interview with TEDx speaker and also author of Honest to Greatness, Peter Cozadoy. You can look up that book online, Honest to Greatness. Part of the question now turns into the fact if social media networks are publishers. So if they start to use their discretion of what is and what isn't true, and then they start editing or removing content based on that, that could put them in a publisher mode, which changes things greatly for them when it comes to protections they may have under the law. And that's why I think a lot of social media networks are having a hard time. They're riding the fence now, but they're afraid to pick a side because they realize that it's nice to be on the fence when you get protections from both. But hey, if you have to be on one or the other, then that's going to really change their strategy. So how do you think that's going to play out in a tech world?
Well, it's not just, you know, what we're thinking about primarily is there are untrue things that we need to let people know they're not true. But let's think about the other direction. I mean, one of my biggest core values is justice. Like every time I watch The Shawshank Redemption, I cry like a little baby. So my point is, if we have folks who know the truth and are trying to communicate the truth, what happens if the algorithm that we put in place in some of these social media platforms denies what's actually true because maybe it's outlandish or doesn't fit the narrative or can't possibly be true for any number of parameters? So that would be equally terrible if we start to crack down on these things.
You find that happens very quickly in social media when something gets heated. So when there's a major news event and there may be something that is factual, but people are very upset with whatever factual is being reported, you'll see a massive outpour of people going. And if we were to just judge this on algorithms, it would influence what is truthful or not. Just because of that, you see people reacting to it in a negative way, it may be misinterpreted as not truthful. So it's tough because then, like, let me bring this up. So even in the Supreme Court, you have all of these sitting legal scholars, some of the brightest minds in the world, looking at the exact same law, and they all see it a different way. And sometimes they can't come to a conclusion. Sometimes they're split. Sometimes it's, unanimous. That's kind of the way we look at truth anymore. It's difficult to find anyone that sees it exactly the same way.
Yeah, and that's okay. I mean, diversity is part of what makes for amazing outcomes. So that part of it's fine. I think the part that's not fine is when some of those motivations are hidden and decisions are made that don't benefit, you know, in their case, the greater good, you know, being a Supreme Court, for your example, then there are problems. And I, time and again, have encouraged CEOs and elected leader, any type of leader, be transparent about your process. Because if you're transparent about the way that you got there, people can disagree with you, but they will say to themselves, well, I mean, at least he was honest, right? At least I could see how he did the math. He didn't reach the conclusion I would have liked, he or she, but, you know, at least I know. And that's a really important thing because now, you know, you look at what happened to George Floyd. one of the most outrageous things was the time it took to charge these officers that everyone could see murdered this individual in broad daylight. Now, this is a perfect microcosm for what I'm talking about, and I have hope because there was someone there with a camera. There's someone everywhere with a camera. We can all see now with our own eyes what has happened, and so it makes it much more difficult for people to hide the truth. And so for that, I am hopeful.
You are hopeful. So when you try to put a timetable on being hopeful, if you wanted to see how long it takes for your vision of what should happen, do you think we'll ever get there?
I think we will, and I think the next 5 years is going to be extremely interesting. You know, we're coming up on a presidential election. I would put forth that truth is at an all-time low for a variety of different reasons. So I'm very interested, as someone who wrote a book about honesty, what people will decide this fall, good, better, worse. I mean, you know, I'm neutral. My only client is honesty. I'm just fascinated to see what's going to happen and how people are going to vent frustrations around fake news. You know, what kinds of actions are they going to take?
Yeah, I am always concerned, too, about how something like this could be weaponized. So just like we see whenever there, and this kind of goes back to what you were mentioning before, when there's this company that may have other motivations that aren't disclosed or whatever it may be. So one person's fact checker may be different from another organization's fact checker. And then you're just seeing all these different mixed messages out there. And it all goes back to people's opinions, which might not be factually driven. It may be more emotionally driven. And then we run into the same thing over again. And if it's just people that don't trust each other or in people that don't trust organizations, it seems like that's a difficult thing to back away from. It seems like we're so far down the road, it's going to be difficult to see in any given timeline in the near future that changing.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think one of the biggest things we need to understand about honesty is, you know, it's not as straightforward as just tell the truth. You know, if you can imagine, if parents told their kids 100% the truth all the time, that probably wouldn't be a good thing, right? But there is a component to, you know, are your emotions honest? Are being governed by your reactions? Is that an honest way of living? And I would argue not. I would love to see in the next generation and to run through society an effort for us to pause, step back, ask more thoughtful questions, try not to react emotionally to a headline or a post from Great Aunt Betty or whatever. Just be more open-minded and try to understand, because I know most conflicts are simply a matter of miscommunication, and we don't communicate with each other when we assume we're on opposite sides of an issue. And oftentimes every human out there has had the experience that when we actually got down to the core of it, well, that was completely understandable. I guess I shouldn't have been, you know, such a jerk about it, should have asked more questions. That to me is an honest way of living, that if we all adopt, we eliminate social media's power over our emotional system. You know, it immediately goes to, okay, well, we're just going to absorb this information and be thoughtful about it and try to get other sources and figure out what's true. It's as simple as that. It doesn't need to be an emotional blow up every single time.
Oh, that's interesting. Again, if people wanted to check out your book, Honest to Greatness, where can they find it?
Absolutely. So come join me at honesttogreatness.com. You can check out about me, take the honesty quiz. Books available on Amazon, and it will release on August 11th.
One last question for you, and hopefully it doesn't sound like I'm asking the exact same questions over and over again, but one of the other things that we look at in Facebook or Twitter or the social media networks, and I guess we could even expand out to some of them that are owned by foreign nations. So you look at the TikToks in China's, which would be under a whole different regulation standard in other countries. But when we look at the way things play out here, we can say these are billion-dollar companies that have been extremely intrusive and have been very loose to sell out your private information. And they try to package it in a way that makes it look all fun and good. But in the end, there's a lot of bad actors involved in that sort of thing. How in the world can you trust a billion-dollar corporation that's purposely trying to make money off of you? How do we know they're not just trying to manipulate you, even when it comes to news or honesty? It just, to me, goes all the way back to the mistrust that we have, not only, and it doesn't even have to be between, you know, our fellow neighbors. It could actually be towards the corporations themselves.
You know, we can never trust everything that's coming at us. And this is an age-old thing, right? I mean, I write about examples in my book, like the Catholic Church abusing its power and ancient Egyptian priests abusing their power. I mean, this is a thing where humans, sometimes we lie for personal gain, right? A couple things. First, it's getting harder and harder to do that. I mean, look at the college scandal last year that broke. Look at what happened to Jeffrey Epstein. Like, it's very hard to keep surreptitious acts and people under wraps these days. They're just, the information spreads too quickly. Too many people know, you know, for better or worse. And so that is a governing mechanism in and of itself. Not perfect, but it's there. The second thing is, you know, there are examples of incredible companies that really do get it. I profile many of them in my book, leaders like Warren Buffett at Berkshire Hathaway and Quicken Loans and the Ritz-Carlton and all kinds of Domino's Pizza. I mean, you take Domino's Pizza, who came on the air 10 years ago and said, I'm sorry, America, our pizza's terrible and we're going to fix it. I mean, it doesn't get more honest than that. And then they transparently showed us what they were doing and then they did it. So when it's, you know, it all comes back to interpersonal relationships and behavior. If you and I have a conflict or mistrust, I welcome you into my house, show you everything I'm doing on your behalf, then you're going to say, okay, well, I can see it with my own eyes. Now we can rebuild our relationship. And that's the good thing here is that, yes, trust has eroded. Yes, you know, honesty has been stepped on by an 800-ton elephant, but it can be resurrected and through the simplest of means, which is just to be honest.
Ah, very good. As a TEDx speaker and honesty expert and also author of Honest to Greatness, Peter Cazadoy, I really appreciate it. I'm going to go on to your website, just do a quick Google search for Honest to Greatness. I'm going to take that quiz as soon as we're done with this interview. Thank you so much for coming on tonight on KMOX.
It's my pleasure.
And he joins us on the TDK Technologies guest line on Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Here we are. Overnight America continues just for a little bit longer. We're here for an hour now up until 2 o'clock. And if you want to join in the show, you can at 314-436-7900. The nights go by quicker and quicker, it seems like, every night. Getting a lot of text messages tonight. I think a lot of it has to go back to that conversation we had with Chris Raby at the start of the 11 o'clock hour. You can use the radio rewind on that. I posted a link on the Ryan Recker Radio Facebook page. You can get it right there or just the radio.com app. If you find and like KMOX on there, just rewind back to about 11:09, I think, when we started our conversation. And I just like to, in general, read these text messages. One said, you might want to check this with Rich Rubino, but I always was taught that the Civil War was mainly about state rights and not about slavery. Yeah, the interesting thing was that, of course, Abraham Lincoln, that was a underlining tone, but you would be right when it came to the state's rights, and the Civil War was a big part of it. Now, keep in mind, the livelihood of the South, they were fighting for that, and that had to do with slavery. But if you were to look at it more on a larger scale, then sure, that would be true. States' rights. Now, I again, if I remember, I'll ask Rich. I probably will forget, just like I forget about most things. You know what happens at the end of the night? I wind down, I go upstairs, let the dog outside, and I go straight to bed, probably before the news is even done. I'm getting ready to fall asleep. It's amazing the times we are in today. But when I wake up, I forget about all these things. So I can tell you right now, yeah, I'll ask Rich about that. I'm not going to ask. It'll completely drop and it'll leave my mind. And as I found out, a lot of radio show hosts are like this. They just don't remember things. There's so many people do have nice memories. I am not one of them. But when I talk to other talk show hosts and morning show hosts, things like that, and you were to go up to them and say, hey, what did you talk about last Wednesday? I couldn't tell you what I talked about last Wednesday, even if I really, really tried. There would have to be something significant going on. So I can definitely tell you what I talked about Monday night, because that was a significant night in the city of St. Louis with all the violence. It's one that is memorable. Because of that, Tuesday night, I can probably talk about what we were anticipating to see, but I couldn't tell you some of the other topics if it wasn't violence-related. I'm sure we talked about other things, and that's just the way it goes sometimes. A few things I want to get to before we get to the news one more time. I saw this story. No new COVID-19 cases from the Lake of the Ozark crowds, Missouri Health Director says. This is from the Post-Dispatch. They posted one of these up. Well, isn't that something? You know, how fast we forget about COVID-19. And this was the thing that was the dominating force for so long. So many other people were out there. Activists yelling and screaming just how terrible we are as a society because we want to try to reopen businesses. And then this Lake of the Ozarks thing happened. May 4th, I believe, was the date. So it's about a month from opening here, the state of Missouri. And we saw that one video come out, and it made nationwide news where there were just, I'm going to guess, a lot of 20-year-olds packed into pools and around all over this resort and doing these things. And, oh, everybody, oh, this is the most terrible thing you've ever seen in your life, all of these people out here. So now we're removed. You think we'd see a spike if there was going to be a spike? Not so much. So they say one person in Boone County tested positive last week and likely was infected while around the crowds. Governor Parsons now has to deal with all the other things that are going on, including the civil unrest and the potential for violence like we saw here in St. Louis and what's going to happen when those things turn violent. He's got other things to worry about. You kind of forget about this whole Lake of the Ozarks thing. Now, keep in mind, Dr. Sam Page did warn everyone in the county, if you were out protesting, make sure to socially distance and stay home for 2 weeks. You know, separate yourself if you didn't take the precautions, is what he was saying. You know, I'm going to guess no one heeds that warning. But maybe this is a good sign. Maybe we can look at this and say, overall, we are going to have a huge advantage to fighting this thing over the summer. And this should be looked at as not something to mock, but as something to say, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. And that was from the Post-Dispatch. A lot of people are worried. They talk about the large gatherings, the protests, people getting close into proximity with each other. Now, keep in mind, even though you're outside, those that may be marching or those that may be out there doing anything during the protest, there's a lot of yelling and screaming, being vocal, close enough to easily spread the COVID. But however, they're not taking it as serious as they did just about anything else. I mean, look at that. In Illinois, they force you to wear a mask if you're going to be out in public. I mean, think about this. If you're going for the longest time, they had all these extra restrictions in these extra states, but somehow it's not really something they take as serious when there's a protest going on. Or if they, maybe they're just afraid to. I don't know. Maybe they're just afraid of the repercussions of them saying something like that and being consistent with their message in the past. One other thing I saw from online, KSDK did a story. They did an update on one of the officers that was shot during these protests, these the ones that were out there. There was four officers that Monday night that were ended up sustaining injuries for being shot. And KSDK caught up with one of them and talked to some of the family members, too, of what they were going through. Here's what one of the fathers said in their report.
It was just after midnight, Monday into Tuesday, when St. Louis police started firing tear gas at rioters who were throwing Molotov cocktails at them. Suddenly, officers standing near a formation of other officers near 17th Street and Olive began getting shot. Ray Murphy's son, Ryan Murphy, was one of them.
What was it like to get that phone call, and what was it like to see him?
It was rough, I admit it. I'm a 21-year Army veteran, and I've seen some things and having to wake my wife up to tell her about it. It was pretty rough.
Ryan?
That is tough. When you know that there's always that risk when you have a family member that serves like that as a police officer and you see what's going on in the city and you think, he's going to be all right, right? Just like before, he's going to be okay. And you fear that you're going to get that call. I just can't imagine.
Ryan Murphy sent his father pictures of himself in his hospital bed, his hands still bloody from where he held his wound and blood still oozing from his leg.
What were your thoughts at that time?
I was hurt, angry that my son was shot for just doing his job. He wasn't out there to hurt anybody. He's asking, he was doing with the city of St. Louis, and to get shot for doing his job is ridiculous.
Is there going to be any permanent damage because of this?
Unknown at this time on permanent damage. But he's out of work for at least 4 weeks.
His dad said missing work is perhaps the hardest part for Officer Murphy, who also recorded a message from his hospital bed to his fellow officers.
Hey, through and through to the leg, I'm fine. I'm at Barnes Don't let this deter you guys from working on the street. Go out there and get them. I'll be fine. I'll be out there shortly.
Aw, isn't that something? He gets shot and he's like, I'll probably be out a couple weeks, but I'll be back. Puts that message out there. Man, it just goes to show you how tough you got to be a police officer on the streets to handle people that are out there to do no good, people that are out there to make you a target, shoot at you. It's just really a sad thing that police officers have to give a positive message to, you know, keep on fighting the those that want to throw Molotov cocktails and burn buildings down for the safety of all. Well, we're going to have another hour of Overnight America coming up, and it's the last hour for you to chime in for the week. I said the word chime. I hate when I do that. We'll take some of your calls and your text messages coming up on Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.